Good morning. Anybody there? Am I on the right line? Are the phone numbers right and correct? Or am I just talking to me?
Hello, everybody. Hello. Such a beautiful day. Think I'm gonna run away. What a beautiful day. In May.
Well, I think I'm gonna get out of here and come back, because I might not be in the right line, or I might not be connected. Monty?
Has arrived.
Here I is again. Is anybody there?
Oh, what a day. Think I'm going to run away. What a beautiful day. In May.
That's just a few more days in May, and then we move into June.
June, July, August. My gosh, Christmas is going to be here for long. That's exciting.
Has arrived.
Speak up so I know somebody's here. If not, I guess we could probably cancel the call if it's just me, because I always like talking to myself. Trouble is, I sometimes even answer myself. That's what the problem is. So anyhow, here it is, the month of May 31st. This is it. It's all over with. Except till midnight tonight, and then it'll be a new month. It's going to be a great month, and it was a great finish to this month, and I'm excited about that. That's for certain. But anyhow, we talk a lot about on this.
Ready has arrived.
Sharing it with one another, and it's exciting to have you all on the call, and so we're going to share some more information today, and have a good time, talk about a few things. Does anybody have anything that you'd like to mention before we start the call on how your week went? Any good things happen? Did you try a new recipe or something that you haven't tried before and got a very good response to it? Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take off because times are getting. It's probably a short call today. I'll go ahead. What I want to talk to you today about, it talks about 12 health delusions to ditch. In other words, you may think you are making healthy decisions, but which choices may be hurting you. And I know when people write these kind of articles and things like that.
Loretta has arrived.
They don't have the knowledge that we have already, being a NICU, and understanding that one of the most important things is our health, and we do study it, and we do research it, and our company provides products for us that will do those things if we just passively put them to work for ourselves. We sleep on them, we walk on them, we almost want to say, matter of fact, I'm talking on one right now. It's called a Pico's. So I guess there's a lot of things that we can do in regards to our particular product. But in this article that I read, it just basically comes up with some questions. And one of the things that I know that people are concerned about, and that's, you know, you're safe from health issues because we read labels, we pop vitamins, or have genetics on our side, and top experts address the truth behind the most common health delusions. And one of them, the first one that says that I lift weights, so osteoporosis isn't a concern. And they go on to say that your twice weekly weightlifting sessions contribute to bone health, but it's not the whole bone building picture. Weightlifting alone does not offer much protection if your diet lacks certain nutrients. And I love the way he's got it stated. Says Dr. Patricia Riley, a physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist at the Nazarene Hospital in Philadelphia. She goes on to say that you also need to address nutritional facts such as calcium and vitamin D intake, smoking, individual bone health, and other factors. For strong bones, the National Osteoporosis Foundation recommends, in addition to lifting weight 2 or 3 times a week, that women under age 50 and men under age 41, they recommend a torch to 1,000 milligrams of calcium a day. So that is in regards to, is weightlifting important to our body? And it is, but the main important factor of doing that to complement that weightlifting is be taking the proper nutrients, eating the proper foods, and eating a good, healthy diet. The next one, it says, I eat only 1,000 calories a day and still get...
Has arrived.
Slow metabolism. And I guess maybe I'd even use that a little bit to how I feel like the older I get, my metabolism slows down. So we'll go on to see what they have to say. If you track your calories and still can't lose those last 10 pounds, you probably may lie more with your math than your metabolism. You may lie more with your math than with your metabolism. It's easy to underestimate calories, especially if you eat a lot of restaurant meals. Of course, we don't. We try to prepare ours in the home. But a registered dietitian and the director of clinic nutrition at Montfort Medicine Center in New York says there are large amounts of hidden fats, mainly fats used in cooking the food. Add hundreds of calories per dish. Added butter, milk, or cream cannot be seen, which makes it harder to track calorie intakes. In addition, chronic dieting without exercising can slow metabolism. Well, that makes sense, especially as we age. Well, that verifies what I thought I was new.
Linda Morse has arrived.
Oh, it says the American Dietetic Association recommends that women eat about 1,600 to 2,000 calories a day. So, in other words, if you think you're eating only 100,000 calories a day and still gaining weight, the answer might be that your math is not accurate. The next one we had to deal with, one of the myths, was I eat only natural beef and chicken, so I'm safe from antibiotics and pesticides. And, of course, some of the people on this call are vegans or vegetarians, so they either stay away from natural-type meats or whatever, but I'll go on to say it. It says, reading labels as a way to eat healthier only works if you know the lingo. Choosing foods with a natural label, for example, and we've heard this before, doesn't mean that you're in the clear from added chemicals. Natural has almost no legal meaning. As Mark A. Castle, the co-director and senior farm policy analyst for the Wisconsin-based Concopia Institution, an independent watchdog organization that monitors and promotes ecological produced local and organic food. And it goes on to say that the USDA's legal definition of natural only means minimal processed and without artificial preservatives. I want to repeat that again. The USDA's legal definition of natural only means minimal processed and without artificial preservatives. Virtually all conventional meat qualifies, he says. To stay clear of pesticides, antibiotics, and other chemicals, look for the green and white USDA organic label. It's the gold standard of labeling for meat, dairy, and eggs. And I find that to be true. The FDA, I heard once that the FDA even said that if you had eggs that were...
Has arrived.
If you had eggs that were less than 2 years old, they could still consider them to be fresh. And I know one of the things they do in egg farms is when they recycle the eggs from grocery stores, they just put them in different cartons and put a new date on it. The other one says, the other question was that people had was longevity runs in my family. So I'm destined to be healthy to an old age. And they go on to say that says, and just because grandma lived to be 95 doesn't automatically mean you'll also live to see your 90s. Various studies involving identical twins, and that's the key here, the study was done with involving identical twins, suggests that only about a third of the variation in longevity is accounted for by genes. Howard Friedman, he's a professor of physiology at the University of California, Riverside, and he was the lead investigator of a report called the Longevity Report. But he goes on to say the rest is lifestyle and chance.
Has arrived.
The rest is lifestyle and chance, says Friedman. But a fantastic finding of my longevity project is that many things that seem like chance are really not random. To a surprising extent, you can make your own luck by getting on a healthy pathway, which we certainly believe here. And he goes on to say that many people have the capacity to live well into old age, but most do not. Generally speaking, though, knowing how long your parents lived is not a very good indication of how long you will live. It's kind of like I always, for those of you that know Mary Lou Reardon, that Larry has a twin, and they've been trying to get this brother into the business for many, many years, and he, of course, hasn't went along with him because he thinks whatever he's thinking, but you look at Larry, and you look at his twin brother, and you can find one that's pretty doggone healthy and moving around and doing good things and enjoying life, and the other brother is basically, because of his lifestyle and the things that he does, isn't, well, he's not healthy. So I love that. So it's not genes that's going to do it. It's basically the decisions that we make in our life are going to determine that. And one of the other things that people say, well, look, I don't need a second opinion. I trust my doctor completely. He goes on to say here, no matter how well you trust your doctor, seeking a second opinion when you're diagnosed with a serious ailment or are considering surgery is simply smart. It helps you make an informed decision, says this doctor, the medical director of the Joint Replacement Institute at St. Vincent Medical Center in Los Angeles. The decision to have surgery is a serious one. I welcome the discussion with my patients who want a second opinion. In orthopedic surgery, for example, many nuances and subtle differences exist in surgical approaches, including technology and surgical procedures. It's always good idea to understand the differences, and the second opinion may prove to be meaningful and investment. And I certainly do believe in that myself. One of the other ones that we need to get rid of, it says, one of the questions was, I take vitamins so I can eat what I want. Of course, we all know that's not true, but I'll read you what he says. It sounds like an easy fix, but popping vitamins does not give you dietary carte blanche to eat junk food and skip fresh fruits and vegetables. Taking vitamins can provide a false sense of security, says Lauren Graff, a clinical dietitian at the Montoro Medical Center in New York. Isolated nutrients found in a pill do not have the same effect on a body as when they are consumed as part of the whole food, which I believe. For example, taking a vitamin C supplement can't compare with eating oranges or berries, which contain antioxidants, phytochemicals, which are natural chemicals which often act like antioxidants, and fiber, which all work together synergistically. Vitamins can be part of a healthy lifestyle, but they certainly do not counteract the negative effects of unhealthy food. And I think sometimes the majority of people think that they taking vitamins and minerals and doing that sort of stuff, that they can pretty much kind of eat what they want to eat, and that's why we have the problem we do. The next question was, I don't need to work out. I chase around my kids all day long. Well, we all know that running around taking care of kids can certainly burn calories and be physically exhausting. But all that activity is not specific enough to produce the results. Weight loss, muscular definition, and improved energy levels you'd get from a structured exercise program, says Pete McCall, an exercise physiologist from the American Council on Exercise. However, those calories burned during daily activity, which are called NEAT, which means for non-exercise activity thermogenesis, are an effective add-on to an exercise program. You get the best results from an exercise program include cardio-respiratory exercise to improve function of the heart and lungs, resistance training to boost muscle strength and bone mineral density, and some flexibility exercises. At least 2 days a week of dedicated exercise can have a significant impact on managing body weight and experiencing other beneficial results from exercises. So I think that exercise is very important, and I think most people do, but I have heard people say that. Well, I move around a lot at work, and I remember when our cardio strides first came out, people said, well, I do a lot, you know, when I talk to people about it, well, I do a lot of walking at work or whatever, and I said, well, that's not necessarily, here's another way to continue to do that walking, getting a better exercise for the body. One of the other things that they want us to ditch, and it goes on, it says, I can still lose weight if I eat what I want on the weekends and diet all week. And I know I'm kind of sometimes a little bit guilty of that sometimes, where I'll go someplace and I'll think, oh, well, I've been pretty good all week long, so I'll just go ahead and have this little extra bit, or I'll just have this type of food that I know really isn't, but I just crave, oh, I've just got to have it. Oh, that piece of pizza, or oh, that piece of Maybe I won't take quite as big as a piece of pie, whatever. But he goes on to say, you eat healthy all week long, so you should be able to splurge on weekends and still lose weight. Right, he says. Not exactly. It's a slippery slope. If you have been restricting calories during the week, you may find yourself extra hungry come Saturday morning. Of course, we don't count calories here, but I understand the philosophy of what he's talking about. As a result, you may end up making up for the calories you limited during the week and then some. By Sunday night, you're sluggish and bloated. A better bet is to eat healthfully throughout the week and allow yourself a little extra leeway on the weekends. It is still important to eat mindfully even on the weekends. If you're going out to dinner on Saturday night, eat a healthy, high-fiber breakfast. He goes on to exclude such as oatmeal and fruit and lunch. And of course, I drink my Vital Balance, so whatever. And and such as salads and sandwich and whole grain bread. And then allow yourself to indulge in an entree, a drink, and a dessert in the evening. The next question was, I don't need a primary care physician, and I have a DeSilver in my organization that doesn't have a primary care physician. He goes to one of these places. There, I guess they call them, I don't know what they call them, but they're starting to pop up all over where you can go and get whatever, have them look at you, see if you have a particular problem. He goes on to say that annual visits to your genealogist or other specialist throughout the year are important, but they don't make up for a primary care doctor. Specialists focus on a particular body system, says Chang, the corporate medical director at Healthcare Partners, a multi-specialty, that's what I wanted to say, a multi-specialty medical group. A primary doctor is trained to view the whole person, which differs from a specialist focus, and I know that to be true. You know, if I have a problem, over the 10, 15 years, and the doctor thinks I need a specialist, he always reverts me to that particular type of person. A primary care doctor treats the majority of all health conditions, from skin care to chest pain and everything in between. Another one says, it goes on, one of the delusions, it says, I vent my anger so I'm less likely to have a heart attack. Well, primal scream therapy and punching pillows as a way to vent anger are a thing of the past for reasons they don't work. In fact, this type of venting may actually worsen the health impact of anger. This doctor, who is from a Connecticut-based clinical psychologist and author of Anger Management for Everyone, he goes on to say that basically as you're venting your anger, that's when you could create your problem, particularly if you have heart problems or high blood pressure and things like that. In addition, and what he does, he recommends developing a good communication skill so you can negotiate in a reasonable way that considers the other person's perspective. The next thing they talk about here is it's a delusion, is over-the-counter medication, so taking a little extra can't hurt me, and we all know that that's not true. If you're of the mindset that since two aspirin are good, then three must be better. You may be gambling with your health, taking more than recommended amount of medication to cause health issues. We know that true, particularly with Tylenol. They claim that if you take too much Tylenol, that it can have problems with your heart and everything else. So we need to think about that. Over-the-counter does not mean harmless. In fact, OTC drugs, which means over-the-counter drugs, can and do cause significant side effects, often due to inappropriate use. For example, acetaminophen, which we just talked about, which is Tylenol, is one of the most common causes for acute liver failure, often due to unintentional overdose. Over-the-counter anti-inflammatory agents such as aspirin and ibuprofen can cause ulceration and bleeding, especially when used for prolonged periods or high doses. Your best bet is to follow the labeling dosage. If you need something more, check with your pharmacist or physician before increasing the dose. And the last one that I've got today, it says, I save up my one drink a day allowance for the weekends and enjoy it all at once instead. Kind of chuckled that one. But anyhow, it goes on to say, numerous studies show that health benefits of a glass of red wine a day, abstaining from alcohol all week, and over-innovating on weekends, however, is not advisable and could even prove dangerous. Dr. Stuart Finkelstein, the medical director of the Center of Medical Detoxification at Tri-City Regional Medical Center in Hawaii. All things in moderation, and that particularly means drinking alcohol. Even studies that say one drink is good for your heart also mention that one drink a day may also increase your risk of other conditions like cancer. The one drink findings were based on the fact that some alcohol may thin the blood a bit and may reduce your risk of blood clots. Drinking to excess is not good for your heart or any other part of your body, and may even increase the risk of cardiac event. And I would like to change the words from alcohol to food. Food to excess is not good for your heart or other part of your body and may increase the risk of cardiac event. So that's what I've got to talk about today. Does anybody have anything you'd like to suggest or speak up about or anything, any comments today? Well, I started this program by saying this is the end of May, May 31st, and we've had a good ending to the month, had a good month. Some of the people in our country have not due to bad weather or other situations, but we got a new month coming up here in the month of June, and that's about all I got for today that I wanted to talk about. So I guess we'll, if anybody doesn't have anything more, does anybody have a recipe or anything you tried this week that you'd like want to talk about? As you know, I'm a single individual and I don't do too much of the recipe type of things. I kind of eat the same things over and over. I kind of enjoy that. But other than that, I think I'll just go ahead and wrap this call then. I'm a little early. It's only 7:22. But we'll get a good start on our Friday. And for those of you that are going places or going to do things with the family, have a great weekend. Give somebody a hug. Give them a smile. And we'll move on down the road. And we'll be here Monday. Talk to y'all later. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Marty.
Thank you. Marty. Oh. You betcha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thanks for participating. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.